The early church didn't have sermons. They didn't have pastors that would give sermons. They would receive letters from Paul and many other apostles. So today is no different. We're getting the letter not just from the great Herod. We're getting a letter from Pastor Dave. So I will be reading his sermon today, and I know that this is full of love and intention. So please hear what he would have spoken today, but still speak to us now through this. This is the Sunday after Christmas, and it is a strange in-between space where some of us are still celebrating and some of us are just ready to start that new year. How many of you are still listening to Christmas music? Anybody? Rudolph is still playing in my house. How many of you still have presents to give away that are still under your tree? Don't be shy. I do too. How many of you have already taken down your decorations? Okay, I can admit this. I did this yesterday in my office, not my home. How many of you are going to start very soon, though? Once it's December 31st, it's all gone. In the church calendar, we're still technically in Christmastide, the Christmas season, for another week or so, hence the 12 days of Christmas. And this morning, we're exploring the Christmas story from a perspective that's often overlooked, Herod's. Herod is often seen as a villain. We can picture Anakin Skywalker turning to the dark side, going to the Jedi Temple and executing Order 66. And for those of you who are not Star Wars nerds, it's the moment that Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader. But Herod was a powerful ruler and an accomplished builder. And John mentioned some of what he did to help us imagine better what he has done. Caesarea Maritima was a massive port city on the Mediterranean Sea. It's where Paul was imprisoned before going to Rome. And today, it looks like a ruin if you'd find it in Italy or Greece. He oversaw an expansion of the temple in Jerusalem and all kinds of infrastructure improvements in the city, like roads and aqueducts. And he built fortresses like Macedon and Herodium that served as royal palaces and military outposts. And yet, when we're introduced to Herod in the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we're not given any of that background. This is what we read from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. If you have your Bibles, please open them. If not, they should be on the screen. Matthew 2. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." We're just told that Jesus was born during the time of the king Herod and that he was disturbed by the news of the Messiah. First, he calls together his cabinet, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, to ask them what he should do. And then he invites the Magi to his courts before sending them out as his eyes and ears. We'll look at the Magi's role more next week, but they go to Bethlehem and return home without going back to Herod. Then in Matthew 2, verse 13, we read that when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." When they had gone, This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for the gift of this season, for a slower and more relaxed pace before the beginning of a new year. And we thank you for your word. Give us ears to hear for what you have for us this morning, and take these words and use them for your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. We had two awesome services here on Wednesday night, Christmas Eve. We tried something new in the first service. We didn't throw any cotton balls, but we definitely had a lot of props, and we took a risk. Trying something new. We told the Christmas story with 10 different scenes and 10 different sets of actors. Everyone had a group to work with. Some of these people were first-time visitors, and some of them had been in our family service before, so they expected that they would be called upon, but most expected that it would be something different. I preached a sermon, I, Pastor Faith, and Ed led the music, and it was just the right chaos and celebration mixture. The second service had its share of chaos, too. We couldn't have planned for the rain or for the illnesses, but we continued our season's greeting series with reading letters from Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and of course sang Silent Night by candle, though we did it inside instead of outside. In a moment of honesty, a couple months ago, when we started planning for Christmas Eve, I had a picture of how the day was going to go. And at one point in the day, I was frustrated. It wasn't going how I envisioned. This is Pastor Dave speaking. And then, not because I was struck by lightning or anything significant happened, I was somehow able to just let it go. Able to say, it's going to be what it needs to be. We're going to celebrate Jesus' birth. And whatever happens, happens. And that's exactly what we did. It's just a small sample of something that happens often, not just in ministry, but in life in general. Whether it's accepting the cliche, let go and let God phrase, or just learning sometimes the hard way that God is ultimately in control. And we just have to loosen the grip on our plans enough to follow where he is leading. Herod the Great was a complicated man, and for all kinds of reasons. And one of the flaws that led to his downfall was his need for control of the outcome and direction. He completed all kinds of masterful work for the Judean people and the Roman Empire. But he also didn't quite fit in anywhere. He was an Arab Jew who was culturally Greek and politically Roman. He was the sort of neurotic leader that was so committed to his perception of reality that he'd run people over and worry about the consequences later. Scholar Ken Bailey noted that he was driven mad by fear of losing power and influence. His brother-in-law became a bit too popular and drowned in a swimming pool at a palace party. Herod murdered his favorite wife and three sons. Caesar once said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than his own son, because at least the pig had a chance. In his commentary on Matthew, Dale Bruner refers to what the Confession of 1967 has to say about the consequences of sin while writing about Herod. It reads, "In sin, men claim mastery over their own lives, turn against God and their fellow men, and become exploiters and despoilers of the world. They lose their humanity in futile striving and are left in rebellion, despair, and isolation." Herod allowed the birth of a baby to destroy him. And it wasn't just because he was a cruel villain. He was afraid. Afraid of not having control, afraid of losing his identity, and afraid of looking like a fool. We see extremes of these types of fear with Herod, but if we're honest, we see them in our own lives too. In Matthew 2, verse 3, we're told that King Herod gets news of Jesus' birth, and he's disturbed. Another translation could be that he was troubled to his core. Matthew tells us that it wasn't just Herod. Most people in Jerusalem were rattled as well. It leads Herod to launch a twisted, two-pronged attack. First, there was the search for Jesus with the Magi, and then there was his own nightmare before Christmas, which was commonly referred to as the slaughtering of the innocents. And he writes comments that from that moment Jesus is born, he's viewed as a threat. He had a price on his head and the perceived threat of the powers that could be continued throughout his life and ministry. Most scholars estimate that there were about 30 families with boys living under two, living in Bethlehem at the time, and maybe as many as twice if you can include the outskirts of the city. It's awful. But this isn't the first time we read about something like this in the Bible. Does anyone else know where else in the Bible you can read about a leader being afraid of losing control and ordering the elimination of young Hebrew boys? Anybody? You can shout it out. Does anyone remember another story? Moses, yes. Yes, Pharaoh and Moses, Exodus, the Exodus story, chapters 1-3. Exodus and Pharaoh. You might be sitting there thinking, okay, Herod, Pharaoh, very extreme. What does that have to do with us? We're heading into a new year, which means there's all kinds of talk about new goals and resolutions, and that's all well and good. Those are great. But how many of those goals that we set, how many of those resolutions have to do with gaining more control? Control of your calendar, control of your finances, control of your health, control of certain relationships, control of reputation, control of the future. What if, instead of aiming to control or manage more, you worked on accepting the reality that much of life is beyond your control? What if we put more energy and effort into simply trusting God more? Herod was so afraid of losing his identity, king of the Jews. In the Imagine letter from Herod that John read over and over again, Herod says, "I'm supposed to be the king of the Jews." And again, we're not in Herod's shoes, but we have an identity that most of us spend a lot of time and energy working to protect. Each of us here, whether we know it or not, each of us here is known for something. We all carry different titles and roles, and some of them are just given to us, like son or daughter, brother or sister. And some of them we have spent time and work and energy to earn, such as spouse, parent, professional, caregiver. When something threatens those identities, whether it is given or an earned identity, there's a deep-seated fear that creeps in. That's the quaking inside. For Herod, the threat came in the form of an infant and a baby, a child whose very existence challenged the story about Herod that he told himself about who he was and why he mattered. He wasn't just afraid of losing power. He was afraid of losing himself. If Jesus was truly the Messiah, then Herod wasn't the king he claimed himself to be. His title, his legacy, and his sense of purpose all came into question. The same happens to us when something threatens what we have thought to know about ourselves. Maybe we lose a job or fracture an important relationship. And then suddenly we're in this place asking ourselves questions just like, who am I now? What do I have to offer anymore? Or maybe even, what do I believe to be true? Advent and the Christmas story invites us to remind us that our identity is found in something deeper. Before we take on any of those titles, we take on the identity of beloved, people who are loved deeply for God to send his own son, to enter in our experience, take on flesh, and as Eugene Peterson writes, moved into the neighborhood. Matthew writes that when the Magi don't return to Herod, they go another way. He realizes that he's been outmaneuvered. The illusion of control was shattered, and he responds with rage. The slaughter of innocents wasn't just about Herod flexing his power. It's about saving face, like a revelatory act of war. Rather than admit he was wrong, he doubles down, causing unimaginable harm in the process. While it's never going to be that extreme for us here this morning or next week, the fear of losing credibility is something we're faced with all the time, every day. We want to look competent, faithful, and put together. We curate our image carefully at work, with our families, what we post online. Look at you millennials. We hesitate to admit doubt, to confess mistakes, or to ask for help because we're afraid of what my people might think. Like Herod, we'd rather protect our reputation than be vulnerable. The Christmas story reminds us that God doesn't typically work through polished credibility. He works through flawed and broken, vulnerable people, a 13-year-old virgin, dirty shepherds, a group of wise men that had a different belief system. God's power is revealed to and through the vulnerable. Maybe the story of Herod is reminding us this year, this next year, to lean into being vulnerable with one another. Maybe it's a reminder not to hide behind titles or prestige, but to be open and honest. And as we stand in this in-between space, between celebrating Christmas and coming into a new year, the story of Herod reminds us not to step into a new year with fear, but or the fear of losing control or fear of losing our identity, and the fear of losing our credibility. This is what Pastor Dave had to say to us. And so thank you, Pastor Dave. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, remind us that we are your beloved. Help us to let go of that we are which never meant to carry, and lead us into the light of Christ, into that new year. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.